What's up, you beautiful, amazing soul warriors, you? It is Saturday Night Soul Time Live with me, LC, and you. I'm so grateful to be here. This is our last day of the National Recovery Month, and so we've got some things to talk about. I want to talk about the gifts of recovery tonight, not in a cheesy way, but in a way that I hope will minister to where you are, no matter on what spectrum that is. We all know that Recovery Soul Food is not just a platform or a space for people who are just in an addiction recovery, on an addiction recovery journey. We're for all people here that are embarking or have embarked or thinking about embarking on a healing journey. While while active addiction is a pretty large part of my life and my story, recovery has come in and done so much more for my story. And I know that it has for many of y'all's as well. But I want to talk about it in a way that is hopefully from a vulnerable and very pure-hearted place. And I hope that it will be received with inspiration and motivation. Because tonight, I want to talk to you about a few things. I want to talk to you about resilience. I want to talk to you about perseverance. I want to talk to you about commitment and dedication, all traits that abound in each and every one of you already. And I'm going to throw down a challenge. If you stay till the end of this video, I'm going to throw down a challenge for all of us. You know, I want to throw down a challenge for us to embrace our healing. And well, you're going to have to wait till the end to listen to the rest, but it's going to be a good challenge. And I hope it's going to be a challenge that will keep you motivated and inspired. And most of all, start to really and truly reveal your self-worth right to you. So I want to give a few shout outs and do a little bit of like housekeeping before we get started, because I'm super excited to get into this with you all. It's been an amazing week. It's been an amazing recovery month, and there's just so much reflection, and I just have to share. But I want to stand strong with my friend and the amazing organization Sober is the New Cool by representing and wearing the newest version of this particular creation of Sober is the New Cool. And, you know, let's stand with our partners and our sister Kim Bellis and Sober is the New Cool. You can go and get your very own Sober is the New Cool merchandise right there at soberisthenewcool.ca. Shout out, Kim. I love you. Thank you. And we do so well when we support each other. You know, we don't get to hear, that's the coolest freaking thing to me about the addiction recovery space, because we all can look at each other and know the challenges and the commitment and the resilience and the perseverance and the dedication that it takes to step out of a space of active addiction and move in a space in recovery towards your dreams. And when we support each other and we help each other's dreams grow, our dreams grow, and guess what? So do all of those traits in us as well. So I stand with my sister. I stand with all of you that are out there chasing a dream and doing it from a place of passion and giving back to the community that needs you so much. For each person who steps past that fear and steps into what they feel like they're truly called and passionate about doing, it takes a whole lot of guts. And I commend you wherever you are on the process. And as you feel that knowing of some place where you are to serve, I know who I am, I know what I am, and I know how I serve. When you're able to get to a place where you have a knowing about how you serve, then look out. Look out. And the more we do this and we give back into humanity, the more together we come as a collective. And it also makes us stronger as individuals. So I support and stand with all of my sisters, all of my sober folks out there doing big things in the community and chasing their dreams. I'm with you and I love you. Okay, You can also get my good friend Pamela Topchian's book, I Didn't Come This Far to Only Come This Far, right there on Amazon by going to amazon.com/PamelaTopchian, T-O-P-J-I-A-N. Amazing read. She has made it affordable for everyone to get. It's a great, it's just such an inspiring and motivating piece of work. It's a memoir, and it within that memoir, so many beautiful healing lessons and great inspiration to take away from that. So head over to Amazon and pick up your copy of I Didn't Come This Far to Only Come This Far. We always give our shout out to my good friend, Brendan Watt, featuring Recovery Soul Food on his podcast and platform. He is an Access Consciousness facilitator, author in his right, and a recovery warrior, walking through his own recovery journey, sharing his struggles here with us, and moving out this blend of Access Consciousness and mixed with recovery. It's such a great healing modality. You can also find Brendan Watt on YouTube. You can also find Pamela Topchian on YouTube. Has some amazing, amazing, great new visualization, guided visualization and meditation videos she's putting up there. She is a certified hypnotherapist, and she's just an amazing human being. Same with Brendan Watt. Check out brendanwatt.com. All right. You know the deal. You can become a monthly supporter of the podcast and help us keep going and growing by going to anchor.fm/recovery soul food and click that support button. It just helps us continue to get this message out and help to grow the podcast. All right. That's it. Now we can get down and talk about this amazing, the amazing gifts of recovery on today, the last day of National Recovery Month. If you guys are ready, I'm ready. Let's go. What's up, you amazing humans? Thank you so much for being here and sitting in with me, Reverend LC, for the Saturday Night Soul Session. It is the last day of National Recovery Month, and what kicked off the whole inspiration for tonight's episode is our here in Wilmington, North Carolina, where I kind of basically live. We had a hurricane in August, and our overdose awareness event had to be canceled. And so we got to do the event. You know, the event came around on the 28th, so it was Thursday. And I was just from the moment that we started driving to the place where they were having the venue of the event. It was at a recovery center in the middle of this neighborhood, and for blocks and blocks and blocks, cars were everywhere. We had the greatest turnout of any year that I've been a part of it thus far. And you know, that goes a long way for especially the city of Wilmington, North Carolina, because I think it was 2017, we were voted as number one for opioid prescriptions and abuse. Now, I don't know how true that is, but we have a crisis here that is like the crisis that is going on everywhere in our country right now. You know, addiction is more serious now than it has ever been. There has always been a possibility and always people losing their lives throughout, you know, all of these years and generations even before us. But what's out there and what's happening today is something so much more sinister and so much more deadly. And so for me to see such an amazing turnout at this community event was so, it just, there really aren't any words to tell you how overflowing with gratitude I was. And that was honestly before I ever got inside the venue. Just being able to see our community come out and come together for something that is so important. Because when we take the time and the intention to honor those we've lost, and no, we don't need a day, a special day to do that, but what I saw, especially from parents that had lost children, or family members that were there that had lost someone, what I saw was this great coming together of human beings with the intent to help heal one another. And as I saw them interacting with people in recovery and talking about their children, it was this very great merging within me that reminded me that it truly is on their wings and their foundations that we stand to continue to talk about the gifts and the guarantees of recovery. See, we don't talk about the guarantees of recovery very much. But the guarantees of recovery are, they're important, because the guarantee of recovery means that I don't die of an overdose of fentanyl poisoning. That's what that means. And that's a guarantee to me. I never have to worry or spin that wheel or play Russian roulette with my life because of the guarantee of recovery. Now, maybe that doesn't sound like a, you know, it's just like one guarantee, but that's a huge guarantee, because as long as I'm alive, I can continue to become all that I was created to be. And so what was just so moving to me in that space is how willing these people were to talk about their children, to be open and vulnerable about their stories. There was this amazing, I mean, a gift of this event was, you know, normally we have a lineup of speakers and a band and all the stuff that we do at recovery events, but this year we had something different. Shout out to Buffy Taylor, who brought this whole thing together. But she found an acting troupe that consists of young people between the ages of, I think, 19 and, you know, between the ages of 19 and 30. And they're a young acting group, and what they specialize in is telling the stories of those, telling the stories that impact our community. And so there were three of them that they called and they got my story from start to finish. Long conversation it was, but what they did was they built a script out of that, and they just did this amazing monologue. And you know, Trey, who read my story, stood there in the middle and was surrounded by Chloe and Georgia, these two amazing and talented young ladies who read parts from two mothers that had lost their children. So we had that element of the story, and they were able to end with my recovery story, a story of light and hope and recovery that let people know that recovery is so possible. It's so possible. And it was just the most beautiful gift, even to me, to be able to witness that and to hear my story read back to me. And to go into those places where that story covered, and to go there and to be able to really take an inventory of how much I have done as far as healing those areas of my life. And it was just unique. It was amazing. And it's so important for these stories to continue to be told So if you're a person that ends up hearing this and you have lost a loved one to overdose or the disease of addiction or fentanyl poisoning, and you feel led to speak up and talk about that, then please step through the fear and do that, because it is as important as our stories of redemption are. It truly, truly is. And I believe that people's purposes live on past their human existence, if you will. Their purpose is not over because they're not here, especially not in this space. In this space, we need that. But it was so inspiring. But the most inspiring part of all of it was the conversation that my wife and I had for most of that entire day and that entire evening. As we started reminiscing and talking about exactly where we've come from and took the time to truly stop and look at where we are now, the values that we hold now, the ability that we have now to take that walk down memory lane and not be triggered, but be grateful, to be grateful. And I hate that it takes a National Recovery Month, you know, for us to, for our attention to be brought to those things, but I needed that. Sometimes we get so deep in the thick of everyday life and it's filled with frustrations or filled with wants and desires that we haven't achieved yet or we haven't gotten to yet. And we have this tendency to get caught in the mix of those things and we forget to look at how far we've come, to look at who we are. And I say this to you a lot, and I'll continue to say that, but the version of yourself that you are living today is the manifestation of a dream from times past. And you know what that means? You know the hope that that gives me? That gives me the hope and the knowing that all that I still want and achieve to become, it will manifest as well. It will be there as well. And being able to, it's like so many parts came together this past week. So many just moving parts, from filling out applications for things and having to add up things like, you know, our savings account and our bank account, and realizing that, oh my gosh, we even financially have gotten to a place now that we only dreamed about in times past. And we've gone through this year and we haven't had to have like assistance or help. And there was a time in my early days of recovery, and I'm going to be vulnerable and honest with you right now, that I never thought we would be able to make it off of, you know, assistance. I never thought that we would be able to truly, you know, financially prosper and prosper past needing help. And I think a lot of that came, I think part of the reason that we have been able to do that is that we had to become and tap into those things that I was talking to you about in the beginning of the video. We had to tap into our perseverance. We had to tap into our resilience. We had to tap into our commitment and our dedication. And it doesn't really matter whether you are in a state of sobriety or you know, on a healing journey. You already have those things living within you. They are abounding within you. And I can say this for a fact, especially to those of you that are in addiction recovery space. You have all those things already within you. It's just that in times past, you've used those traits, those values, those assets in a way to pursue what you needed to cope. And I think that it's so important, you know, within this event in this National Recovery Month, we see a lot of stuff about no more shame, no more shame. Well, there's a reason for that. It's not for people outside to stop shaming us. That helps. But boy, we got to get to a place where we stop shaming us. Can I give you this? I'm going to give you this gift right here. It's going to sound real simple. You can't do anything about the past except heal it, transmute it, and alchemize it. And let it help you live a better tomorrow. That's what you can do. That's that gift. If you get nothing else, shame has no glory, guilt has no glory, and it is not going to help you walk through this next part, this next phase, this next lap of your journey. And if there's a place within you that is still feeling shame, find it. Look at it. Take it apart. And remind yourself. You have to put your energy and focus into the things that you can do something about, and the things you can't, those are the things that you're going to have to let go. And it's a struggle to let them go. I was watching an old video that I did, I think, in 2019. Today, first I was admiring the amount of hair I still had, you know. I was a little jealous about that. But I myself was truly motivated and inspired even by that message, because that message was deep in getting to it, you know, that it was talking about that gap between knowing that you want to change something and changing it, that gap that's in the middle that's often riddled with shame and procrastination and fear of I can't, and there's a real fear. I want you guys to hear me on this as well. There's a real fear. And I think the biggest fear for people that are stepping into, out of an active addiction and into a recovery journey, is who am I going to be? We become so attached and ingrained to our identities that it's very scary. It's not the unknown that's truly the scariest. It's the loss of that identity and understanding, who will I be if I'm not addict Lona? If I'm not depressed, suicidal, living in shame and guilt and fear Lona? If I'm not a hopeless junkie, because this is how I used to talk to myself, if I'm not a hopeless junkie, then who am I? And that became so scary and so overwhelming that I pushed off my recovery journey for many years. Even when I would try the clean and sober route, I would not often go underneath the surface of that, because I was not ready to let that identity go. And there is a real gift in letting go of an identity that truly does not serve you in any manner that is positive or essential for your growth, to open yourself up and fall in, eyes closed, you know, arms wide open, and just go in and trust the process of it. And awareness is what will, awareness of that identity is what is really going to help you click in the dial and to truly make those changes and to utilize your perseverance and to utilize your resilience and your commitment and your dedication. That's what's going to help you utilize all of that. And so, you know, my wife and I were talking, I became at one point just dumbfounded when I really stepped out of the picture, you know, outside of the frame of my life, and really looked at who I have become. And it's been hard, and it has been, I mean, I don't think that anything has come easy to me in this 10 years of recovery. from my wife going into an absolute all-out relapse within the first year of my recovery, I thought, again, I was still carrying the belief I was God's little joke, and I thought, yep, this reiterates it. You know, like, what are you doing? I told you I'm really doing it this time. I'm really doing it this time. And so, you know, from that to her sliding into that deep depression for the following seven more years, and our family in turmoil and our finances in turmoil, and I'm having, you know, surgeries and if I were watching a movie of that, of someone else's life, I would just be amazed. And I'm not saying that, I hope that doesn't sound, you know, conceited or self-serving of any point, but I would be amazed. I would be so proud of that person that I was watching on that screen just continue to persevere and continue to take that next right healing step for them, and to continue to keep reaching for it even when it felt like it was all so out of reach. I would be so inspired. And yet, we fail to see the bigness of all that we have overcome. Sometimes when you're in the midst of climbing a new mountain and you're starting to get, you know, tired, it can be very helpful to turn around and look at mountains pasts. The mountains, the other mountains in your past that you have climbed and scaled and learned from, now this can give you hope that that's right. I got over that. Like, I got to the top of that mountain. And I know that the grit that it took to get to the top of that mountain lives in me. It's not about the easy circumstances I get, but that grit lives in me. So that means, as tired as I am, I know I'm going to continue and move to the top of this mountain as well. Because here's another little secret. When in this life, on a healing journey, I don't care if it's from addiction or what, the mountains don't stop coming. We don't reach a place where everything is good. That's just not the nature of this journey that I believe we all signed up for. It's not the nature of it. We always are made to desire more and want more, no matter where we get. It may be comfortable for a little while. You may sail through, and that's the reward of it. That's what they call the manifestation of it. But the getting there, you know, takes the work. And there's always going to be a new desire. There's always going to be somewhere else you want to go, something else you want to achieve. That's the beauty and the gift of humanity, of being to be human. And it keeps us in like a constant state of this chaotic change. And if we, because we in the recovery community know that we have to embrace this change. We say the serenity prayer all the time. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. That's a profound statement, and it's at the root and the helm of your healing journey. And it's what it takes to honestly engage all of those traits that live within you. You know, and we have to keep evolving our vision for ourselves and for our lives. Now we have to continue to upgrade our vision for our lives, but we have to not try to control the outcome of how that's going to happen and how that's going to be. You never know in a day where you're going to find that next nugget of inspiration, that next spark of an idea, that next whatever that's going to kick you off rolling up that next path. And if we're closed off to how it all has to show up and put it on a timeline, then a lot of times we're going to miss those small things like being at an event and getting to talk to a woman named Iris who lost her daughter in a very tragic way, and to hear her perspective on it, and to be able to bring about a message of how we have to tap into our human side and give people that are really trying to change their lives a chance, that we need to drop the shame and the stigma and recognize where we can be of service to another human being. And I don't, it doesn't mean that everybody's calling is to be boots on the ground, front line, passing out, you know, harm reduction supplies or driving people to rehab or checking on people or feeding people. It doesn't have to, all of our places don't have to be the same. But in any way that we can contribute to another human being trying, you know, you own a business, if you own a business or you're the manager of a business and you see somebody come in and they're trying, that may be part of your purposed service. It's giving people a chance. And yeah, you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned. Not everybody's as ready as they think they are. And that's okay. That's okay. You got to take care of yourself when you're in your service position. You got to take care of yourself. You know, take care of you. Don't let it start hardening your heart to where you don't trust people and you don't give people that chance. And vet them, you know, vet them. But it's important. It's important that we stay open to receive the messages and the inspiration that can come through connecting and interacting with other people. But mostly it comes through being open to receive it. And not fixing our idea on how things have to go. And all of this, as I even listen to myself saying all of this to you, these are my gifts of recovery. One of my biggest gifts of recovery is the ability to change my perception of life, of myself, of what recovery really is. You know, that was the biggest deal. We are experiencing the life in which we are perceiving what we perceive as truth versus what really may be true. And I kept myself miserable for years because I looked through the eyes of a victim. And it was a perpetual victim because, in all honesty, it's all I knew. And when you can't do what you don't know is possible. But it took being open to inspiration and motivation from others, from information I was studying. Then it finally, you know, counseling I was getting, that it finally clicked in and was like, oh, I have the power to change my glasses. I have the power to change the way I see the world. The way I interact with the world, the way I interact with life, circumstances. And that freed me up so much of some of the heaviest burdens that I was so desperately tired of walking around with. And it is a daily, I work on myself daily. Daily, because I realized something so important, and I've shared it with you all many, many times. As long as I was seeing the world through the lenses of victimization, I was allowing myself to continuously be victimized. Because whether you know it or not, we seek those people out. Whatever the story is that we are running through our head and through our heart in every moment about every person, about every situation that we experience. Whatever that narrative is, that's how we're going to experience it. And that is exactly who we're going to draw into our lives, because we need that story to be concreted and reiterated at all times. So if you're a person out there in new recovery, understand this. You're going to recognize every single time somebody looks at you sideways because they know that you're in recovery. You're going to see that. You are probably going to experience discrimination. You're going to experience shame and stigma. You're going to experience that. And that's okay. You know, it happens. It's going to happen. I beg of you not to let it reiterate a story that you're living through in your mind and let it walk you back to the path that you're trying to walk away from. Because I did that more times than I can even count. I was talking when my wife and I were having the conversation about our past and about her relapse and about just all of it. Things we haven't even talked about with each other since she kind of basically started waking up from her depression. We were talking and it really dawned on me how surprised I was that I didn't use her relapse as an excuse to go back into relapse myself. I had never been that close to someone actively using the substances that I was desperately trying to heal from and not use them ever before in my life. And for whatever reason, I know the reasons. I was so tired. I'm 4 years older than her. I had many more years out there carrying that lifestyle around with me and dragging myself through life and having to feel the pain of the actions that I was, you know, putting out in the world and the people I was hurting and the way I was hurting myself and the risks I was taking. I had had many more years of that than she had. So I was extremely tired of that wash, rinse, repeat type of lifestyle. I also had the vision for my son. I didn't want my son to grow up and cope with his problems, his trauma, his whatever through using. I had my why was very, very solid, and it was that was my foundation. My why was so much bigger than me that I was willing to do what it took to protect that why. And that's one of the first things if I ever work with somebody in recovery, if I talk to people who are on the fence about recovery or wanting to get into recovery, that's what I ask them to start discovering for them. What is your why? If you don't know your why, you don't honestly have a clear vision of where you want to go. And your why is that thing that you hold and you protect and you do what it takes. And I did that when my wife was in that relapse. Now, I still look back on it and do not know how, because I was not I was not far in my own healing journey, to be honest. I think I was 6 months into recovery at that point when she had her relapse. And it was devastating. I had to go from a person in recovery myself, who shared parenting duties with, you know, with someone else and work duties and all that stuff. I had to go from a struggling person in recovery to dad, mom, you know, housekeeper, breadwinner, and being someone, the family of someone in active addiction, watching it from that other perspective. And some days, even as we looked back about it and talked about it, it's still unfathomable to me that I made it. That I made it. And it's even more amazing to me to see who my wife is today and to see how every bit of this stuff has built us. These are the building blocks of who we are today. And I wouldn't trade that for anything in this world. I can't honestly sometimes believe how strong and how resilient and how much perseverance that I have. And all of that, I mean, I can't imagine one of those bricks being any different, because I am so grateful and happy and proud of who my wife is today, of who I am today, and all that we have accomplished and all we continue to accomplish. For all the mountains that are still left to climb, the fact that we're still in the middle of climbing a mountain journey right now, we're on a mountain hike of issues right now. But the guarantee of recovery is that I will reach the top of that mountain. That's the guarantee. I'll reach the top of that mountain, and if you keep climbing, you're going to reach it too. And that's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that you don't give up 2 seconds before the breakthrough, before you reach that place that you have been longing for. And I ask you, and this is the challenge that I want to lay out for us, all of us, as we leave National Recovery Month and we go into this next amazing fall month, this beautiful October, my favorite month, by the way, y'all, I love October so much. But my challenge for us is that we find a place at least once a week to go back within ourselves and re-watch the path, the story, and the places that we've come from, and give ourselves honor ourselves, honor our journey. Take the time to truly sit down and do that internal inventory that lets you know that you are a warrior, and that no matter what you're facing right now, you've likely faced harder in your past, or you've faced enough in your past that you can get through this next thing as well. And what helps me more than anything is to remember that in my asking for the next level in my journey, in my life, for my asking, there are some tasks that have to be completed in order for me to become the person that I am longing to become and to embrace. And so that's my challenge for you as we move out of National Recovery Month, that you would take that time to really sit down and look at who you are. And if you have to use the movie trick where you picture the screen and you watch somebody else playing you in your life, I want you to find that inspiration and that motivation within your own story, because it lives there. It lives there. And these are the gifts of recovery. Gratitude is the greatest gift that I have ever stepped into. Gratitude changes everything. Gratitude changes your lenses. Gratitude changes those self-defeating stories and narratives that we tell ourselves from our experience. Everything is brand new. Everything is brand new. We don't have to keep marring it up with the shame of the past. Continue to tell yourself the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage, and I add the discernment, to know and change the things that I can. And wherever you are in this journey, know that you are right on time. You're right where you're supposed to be. You haven't missed out on anything. You are right on time. In this current climate, it can be so frustrating, scary, and disheartening. But your world gets to be, your reality gets to be what you make it. So focus on the things that sow into you. Focus on the things that bring growth within you. Focus on the things that inspire you and motivate you and help you gain clarity, and leave the stuff that does not. What we're walking into, this shift, this new reality that we are currently in the process of walking into as a collective, is going to call for you to be founded in a positive self-worth. Because when we're not, it's going to be very easy to get overwhelmed. So if nobody's told you today, or lately, you're a badass. You are a badass. And as long as you're still breathing breath, your possibilities are limitless. The only limitations we have are the limitations that live within our thought processes and our belief systems. That's it. We have been taught to believe we are limited, and we are not. We have been taught to believe that we are our bodies, and we are not. We are a soul in the human body having this earthly experience. I refuse to prove my naysayers right. I am going to become all that I promised my grandfather that I was going to be as he lay dying. The promise that I made to him 15 years ago in June. I get to proudly say I fulfilled that promise and then some. And I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to build a legacy to where our last name, you become proud of the last name that I hold. And I'm your legacy. And we together have figured out how to do this life. Oh, okay. All right. All right, all right. Let me say some hellos because I didn't. What's up, John? It's good to see you. Thanks so much for watching over there on YouTube. My sister Pamela Topchin. What's up, Michael Ferrer? I just love saying it like that. Ferrer. I'm sure that's not how you say it, but I love it anyway. At Sober Press. No, go check out Michael at Sober Press, and get those stories in there. Get those stories to Michael. Michael's ministry truly is amazing. It just is out there to inspire and motivate people through stories of hope and redemption and resilience and perseverance and dedication and all the stuff. And I love you, man. Thank you. Hey, Amanda Marshall, it's great to see you. That is all straight up. Oh, I did? Man, that's pretty good for somebody from the South to get the pronunciation right. That is pretty good. Hello, Ryan from New Mexico. Awesome. You like April? Yeah, man, I love the spring too, and I really don't know what it is about October. I think it's just that coming off that summertime, and when the, you know, when, and where I'm from is a big tourist area, so they all start going home in mid and late September. So it gets really beautiful around here. It gets really quiet, calms down. The mosquitoes, most of them go away, and we got a bunch here in my area. And you know, so it just starts to be that, almost that relaxation period from that busy, wild summer, which for me, I still haven't landed. I'm still working on trying to close out a job, and it's been a huge learning experience. Most of you guys know that I started my own business this year, and I had to overcome a lot of fear to do that. The honest truth, because in times past, you know, I've always had the best intentions, and I would start a business, but I never really studied the business part. You know, I'm a hard worker, hadn't always been. I used to be lazy and entitled, you know, to be honest, and had the belief I could never hold. I was a musician, so I didn't think I could ever hold a job, but and I proved that. But I would get into the businesses and I would start the business, and then I could not generate enough money to really keep it going, so I'd have to go get a job. And so it was always my dream to own and operate a successful business. And you know, again, this past week, I've gotten to really look at the fact that I'm living in it, because sometimes we're living within our dreams and we just don't take the time to really realize it, or we don't step out of the picture, you know, or out of the frame to see the picture. And so, you know, I think everything that gives us an opportunity to reflect is a beautiful experience, because we need that. We need to look at where we've been. We need to look at how far we've come. We need to see that. It's not about, you know, tooting our own horn and all that, but there's nothing wrong with that either. There really isn't. And I think that the more that we're able to find inspiration from within, you know, to me, it's more helpful. I mean, I love getting inspired. I mean, I seek inspiration and motivation and information every day of my life. But having those conversations with my wife in that space and just really talking about going all the way back and letting that take me back to those mindsets really still just, again, overwhelms me with a gratitude that I can't even explain, because I lived most of my life trying to die. Now, I want to live, and that's a huge thing. It's a huge thing in our lives. You know, addiction is a hard, hard, hard disease to be in and to battle. It truly is. Addictions of any kind, doesn't matter what they are, when they start affecting your life and your internal monologue and belief system, it doesn't, you know, the severity or what it is doesn't really matter. But when you can start to unweave that ball of traumatic events and that ball of belief systems and negative stuff about yourself, when you start to unravel all that, that's where you find your inner badass. And every one of us got it. Every one of us. I don't care who you are or what your circumstance is right now. I don't care how far gone people think you are. I don't care. You have an inner badass, and it is dying to come out and break through. And when things start really falling apart in your life and it looks like your whole world is crashing down, it is a world that it's now time for you to step away from. So it has to crumble and it has to fall. And maybe you're facing some really big things right now. I don't know, criminal charges, or you're looking at all of this time or whatever, and you're thinking, well, why should I even bother? There's no way I can beat that. That inner badass is trying to awaken, and it's doing it through circumstances that is going to reach in and pull it out. If you let it. So relax and lean in. Relax and lean in to whatever it is you're going through. Embrace it, because fighting against it, don't make it go away. What do they say in the rooms is, oh gosh, what is it? The relapse is outside doing push-ups in the parking lot or whatever it is. Man, I'm misquoting it, but you know, it's the point of it. The more we resist, we're not making things easier for ourselves. We're not pushing this stuff away. It's coming back harder, because if something keeps consistently coming back into your awareness, it is asking you to move forward. And I know. And this energy right now, we just had a huge harvest full moon. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming up from within you. It's going to be asking to be seen. It's going to ask you to do an inventory. It's going to ask you to look at your life and see who needs to come with you to this next phase and who can't. What habits and or whatever, what gets to come with you through this next phase and what doesn't. It is saying to you, you've got to check some of this baggage. You can't bring it all. So whatever that is, like, lean into that. You know, we often lean in, like if you're in the waves, if you're a surfer, and if you're out in the ocean, you know, we don't just try to stop the waves. You lean into the waves. You jump with the waves so that you don't get knocked down. If you just stand there and try to be sure-footed, you know, the wave will always knock you down. But when you jump with it and you go with it, it doesn't drown you. It doesn't overtake you. And so I hope that you can look at your life, especially while we're in this wild energy, and it's wild. Got some eclipses coming up this month as well. I mean, this is a big time, and it should give you an idea. If you're personally going through a lot of big circumstances at once, if you're asked to be making a lot of changes and it seems like it's all at once, or they keep coming back to back real fast with each other, it should be a great indication that your higher self, your higher being, your higher source of who, however you name that, is trying to prepare you for next year to come. Listen, folks, it's not like this stuff gets better all of a sudden. And right now, we're building the resilience and the perseverance and the dedication and the commitment to move into this next collective shift as healing individuals. We heal the world around us when we heal ourselves. And so that's a huge thing here. It's another reason I believe the recovery community has an amazingly important place in this human collective conscious shift. And there's no denying it's happening. So don't get run over by the wave. Don't resist. Jump with the waves, move with the water, move with life, and just keep doing that next right thing for you. Okay, I've held y'all long enough. You got your challenge. Once a week from here on out, honor how far you've come, please. Even if you just take an inventory of every week, the week before, or the week that you're in, if you do it on Fridays or Sundays, whatever you do, but please be intentional about taking the opportunity to be grateful for yourself and all that you're doing and overcoming. Healing ain't easy. It ain't. It is not easy. And yet you're still here, still showing up, still doing it. Bravo. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. I need you guys. I need you all. We need each other. We need each other. So amazing. Thank you so, so, so much. Thank you, John. I appreciate you. Appreciate all of you so much. Remember, you can get some cool recovery merch at soberisthenewcool.ca. You can pick up the amazing book by my sister Pamela Topchian on Amazon/Pamela Topchian. If you want to know more about Access Consciousness, you can go. Dr. Dane here has an amazing program right now. It's 15 days for $15. It is the Great Reset. It is an amazing, energetic, healing. It's just amazing. So I would love for you guys to go and check that out as well. Accessconsciousness.com. You can look at Dr. Dane, D-A-I-N, Hair, H-E-E-R. You can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Facebook. He has does so many great things with energetic healing and asking ourselves different questions, accessing our consciousness. It's amazing. Mr. Brendan Watt is also a part of that organization. And I'm telling you guys, I am looking forward to having all three of these human beings, Gary, the founder, Dr. Dane, you know, just a huge facilitator, and Mr. Brendan Watt, all together right here on the podcast. I'm working on making that happen. I really hope so. It's one you'll got to tune in for. But hey, also on October the 11th, I'm going to be taping an episode with one of my first and favorite connections from Instagram, Tandy Gutierrez. She is an energy healer. She is a movement healer. She is unicorn wellness. She is everything wellness. And she's going to come and sit down and share some great insight and inspiration and information and motivation with all of us on October the 11th. I'm super excited for that. So y'all be watching for that promo stuff to come out and set your calendars and be ready for that. I certainly am. All right. You can support us by following us on TikTok at Recovery Soul Food, Instagram at Recovery_Soul Food. The greatest favor and thing that you could do for Recovery Soul Food right now is to go and find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, blah, blah, wherever the podcasts are, iHeartRadio. Go find Recovery Soul Food. Hit that follow button. Like us, share the messages out if you enjoy them, and thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for sitting with me. I love you all so, so, so much. I hope you know that. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for being here. And again, if I haven't called you out, StreamYard only shows me so many, and we're streaming to 6 platforms, but just know how much I love you and appreciate you. All right, y'all. Until next Saturday, remember, you can get up from your give up and create a life you love. I'm LC, and I'm out of here. Bye, guys.